We turn to the psalm which we read, Psalm 145. And we shall read again the last verse of the psalm. Psalm 145, verse 21. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Amen. We have here a subject which is relevant to us all. The praise of the Lord. Because praise is the duty of us all. God has made man to praise him. We are in this world, living out our lives. And we should be mindful of this. That we are God's creatures. And we are to praise our Maker. To bless his holy name. And we have here a psalm which is representative of the church's praise of her Lord. It's penned by David. And the title is of interest to us. David's Psalm of Praise. His song of praise to the Lord. Well, is not every psalm a psalm of praise? And yes, every psalm in the Psalter, 150 of them, is in praise of God. Even those that speak of the trials of God's people, the difficulties they face, the opposition, the sorrows they experience, all of them in the end are praises because they reveal something of the greatness and goodness of the Lord, his mercy and grace to his believing people. Now, David penned many such psalms, psalms of praise. But this psalm is preeminently David's psalm of praise. The whole of the psalm is taken up with this theme, the praise of the Lord. And this psalm comes after a number which are mournful in character, penitential psalms, David thinking about his sin and his need of the Lord's forgiveness. Here, the psalm is devoted to the praise of God. Or to learn from it. That this will be our theme also. That if we are the Lord's professing people, our lives here would be characterized by this, the praise of the Lord. That we would be blessing his name, declaring his glory. And if we are not yet professing to know and love the Lord, that we would remember that this is still our duty, praising God, and that we would come to know such a change in our lives that we would be offering heartfelt praise to God in the heaven, even as we are gathered in the courts of his house. Well, let us note firstly, with the Lord's help, the praise of the Lord. It's there in the middle of the verse. The praise of the Lord, of Jehovah, the God of the covenant, the God who has blessed his people with everlasting salvation. Oh, what can we say concerning the praise of the Lord? It is a great subject. Because we have a great God. One who is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. Men may be praised on occasion for things that they have said or done, admirable things, the things that are of profit, benefit to others, but not in the way that God is praised. God is praised in the way of worship, religious worship. It belongs to God alone. God, Father, Son, and Spirit. We learn this from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You remember the occasion when he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And Satan, of course, came with several temptations. And subtle they were, as they ever are. And one of them was when the devil took Christ up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil was so bold as to say to Christ, "All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it." What deceit! But the subtlety was to seek to divert the Lord Jesus Christ from the commission he had been given by the Father, that he indeed would inherit the kingdoms of the world. They would be his, but by the way of his obedience, the way of his suffering, the way of the cross. That is how he would have his people. That is how the kingdom of God would be established out of the kingdoms of this world. And Satan said to Christ, "If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine." Immediately from the lips of Christ came these words, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Those words came from the book of Deuteronomy, a standing law for all mankind. One God whom we are to worship and serve. Anything else is idolatry, a grievous offense to the Most High. Or let it be the praise of the Lord that we bow down before Jehovah, that we see him to be the majesty on high, and how we owe him everything and are bound to give glory to his name alone. What is worship? What are we doing when we worship God? Are we not expressing our awe and our reverence for God? That he is the Holy One. That he is pure. That he dwells in light which no man can approach unto. That he is the mighty King, the sovereign Lord over all. We're expressing our admiration. We're adoring him for his being. We're expressing our trust and our confidence in him. He has revealed himself in the Scriptures. We believe his word. We act upon it. We put our faith in the God of Holy Scripture. We're obeying him. We're coming at his call. We're appearing in his august presence. And we're bowing down because that is our place. We understand that. We give him all the honor that is his due. And are we not revealing our love to him? You desire to be in the presence of the one you love, to be in their company. And God's people delight to be in the presence of the one who has so blessed them. He's taken them out of a fearful pit. And he's washed them from their sins. He set them among the princes of his people. He's adopted them as his children. Oh, how he has loved them. How they then will love him. We love Jesus Christ, as Paul said, because he loved us, gave himself for us. There's so much in that. Christ going to the cross. Christ suffering for our sins. Christ pouring out his soul unto death. It was the only way to redeem his people. Redeem them he must, if he would have them with himself in heaven. And such love, greater love hath no man than a man lay down his life for his friends. We cannot, we must not give worship, religious worship, to any other than the eternal God. Not to angels, not to men, not to the saints as they are called, not to any creature. Worship does not belong to any creature. Do you remember the words of Moses in his song, which was sung at the Red Sea? Passage of God's people through the Red Sea as on dry land. Mighty act of God. And Moses leading God's people in praise. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods. Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. Who is like unto thee? There is none. One God. True and living God. Oh, surely we believe that. But is there worship going up from our hearts, even in God's house? Do we praise him for what he is? And for what he has done. It's a wonder, is it not, that such a God would have us to praise him. We are his creatures. He's made us. But we are fallen creatures. We're lost in sin. We're defiled. We've incurred his wrath. Nothing in us that he approves of. That's how we are by nature. How then can we worship him? It is the duty of all. But how shall we come before the Lord? Well, we come according to his word, and we'll come as enabled by his grace. We'll come through the work of his Spirit in our souls, and will praise him because of what he has done for us, what he's done in us. That's how the Lord's people praise their God. It's through the Spirit. And of course it is by a mediator. You cannot worship God without a mediator. Sinners need a mediator. And there's only one. Jesus Christ. He is God and man. Oh, he's so suited to our needs. That is why we call him altogether lovely. That's what he is in the eyes of the believer. He's precious to the believer because he's full of grace and truth. In him, we have the forgiveness of our sins. Do you know him? Do you rejoice in him? And is your trust in Christ alone when you approach the holy and righteous God? That's how it has to be. Worship, the praise of the Lord, only by the mediator Jesus Christ. Secondly, speaking the praise of the Lord. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. That is what David is doing in this psalm. And he's doing it as a man of God. He's doing it enabled by the grace of God. And the words are coming from his mouth, but they're coming from his heart, first of all. And that's the secret of true praise. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And when we come to God's house on the Sabbath, is there that preparation of heart? Is there that thought within your own soul? I'm going to worship my God, my Redeemer, my Lord and Savior. I'm going to worship the one to whom I owe everything. The one I walk with in this world. The one I hope to dwell with in all eternity. The God who has so blessed me. That I must bless his wonderful name. You see, coming into this world, our hearts are not right with God. They are far from God. There's enmity there. There's rebellion. There's sin and guilt. We need saving grace if we are to worship the Lord aright. In a way that is acceptable to him. A heart tuned, as it were, to sing God's praise and to praise him in every other way. We once defied the Lord. Perhaps we even denied him. We certainly disobeyed him. But grace made that wonderful change. Can you speak of such an experience? Can you testify that God has done such a thing in your soul? Does your mouth now speak the praise of the Lord? What praise does it speak? Well, in this psalm, we have so many subjects, but we can perhaps identify four things that were in the mind of the psalmist, why he would praise the Lord. Firstly, for his greatness. Verse 3, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Now there's matter for praise. The God who cannot be searched out, known to perfection, that is impossible because we have finite minds. But we can and we do have an understanding of the greatness of the Lord. He's made himself known. He's given us his word. And his spirit has blessed the truth to our souls. We worship him as the creator, making all things for his own pleasure. We worship him as the God of providence, God who orders everything in this world. There may be many difficulties in understanding God's providence, but we know, do we not, that he is working all things together for our good. He knows the end from the beginning. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. The Old Testament is full of that, and the Psalms too, rehearsing God's mighty acts, especially the deliverance from Egypt, from bondage there. Why? Well, it was a mighty act, but it had a spiritual significance. It's symbolic for the church in every age. What the Lord did in taking his people out of Egypt, he does spiritually for his own, each one of them, when he comes in saving power in the gospel, when he sets the soul free from slavery to sin. Do you know that mighty act of God in your own life? It's the greatest thing. God must have the praise from his people for that deliverance he has wrought for them by his Son, Jesus Christ. The Son of Man setting the sinner free, that the sinner should be free indeed, free to serve God and to glorify his name. But also the Lord's goodness. Verse 9, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Every individual knows the goodness of the Lord, whether you profess faith in Christ or not. That is true. And the Lord has shown his kindness to you in many ways. The very fact that you are here, the very fact that you are still in the land of the living, that's the goodness of the Lord. His bounty in providing for all your needs from day to day. Are you thankful? Do you bless his name? Is the praise of the Lord coming forth from your mouth? God has a kingdom as God, a necessary kingdom, which rules over all. Many do not see that and do not like to think about that. We're all subject to God. Even the disobedient and wicked in their rebellion are subject to God. He restrains them. He orders even their deeds to his own praise. And let us be mindful of that. We cannot say that we have nothing to do with God. We have everything to do with him. His eye is upon us all. And he knows our very thoughts. And one day we shall appear before him to be judged by him. and the Lord will remind us of his goodness to us. Will that not be a heavy thing? Will thou not bring us to an even greater sense of our guilt before God that we receive from his hand much that was good, and we returned unto him so much that was sinful? Then we learn of his care. Verse 14. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. It's the providence of God once more. In the way of his care, in the way of his tender care, God ministers, as it were, to all his creatures. God ministers to men, even the unbelieving, especially to his people. If you know what it is to fall, or to be bowed down, or to be lacking in that which is necessary for your life in this world, and have you been able to make known your request to God, and you've seen the Lord's hand? The Lord has come to you in that way of loving care and blessed you when you were brought low. Time of sickness, time of bereavement, time of backsliding, time of need. The cry went up. You expressed your desire to the Lord, and he came and helped you. These things, these experiences, are a great blessing to God's people. To see that he is not a God afar off, but a God near at hand, so involved in the lives of his people, taking care of the minutest detail in their lives. And that's the way to live as a believer, drawing near to God, involving him in all our plans and seeking his guidance, doing nothing without him, trusting in him for the provision that we need. And then we have his saving mercy. Verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. Now this is especially the Lord's people, because they call upon him. They're given to prayer. That's the work of the Spirit in their souls. He's always leading them to the throne of grace. That's a mark of the believer. Is it something that's true of you? That the throne of grace is where you're often found? Do you try to do things in your own strength? Do you try to use your own gifts and abilities to make headway in life? Remember that God is the sovereign. And God will bless those who honor him. And he will open up the way for those who seek to serve him and glorify him in their lives. And first and foremost, they come to him as sinners in need of his mercy. The Bible teaches us that. The prayer of the publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Now that was his prayer, not just at the beginning. But he continued with that plea. And it must be our request also. Day after day after day, God be merciful to me, a sinner. The Lord saves such. He builds them up. He encourages them. He assures them of his love. He comforts them with the knowledge that they have eternal life. Praise of the Lord. It begins in the heart. By God's grace, then it comes forth from the lips. Now you may have praise upon your lips, the words of the Psalms, your amen to the prayer. But what of your heart? Is it involved in worship on the Sabbath day? Is there worship in your own home? Are you found also in the secret place? The praise of the Lord. He is the searcher of men's hearts. He's looking for praise there. May it be found in our hearts, and therefore coming forth from our lips. A third and final thing, seeking the praise of the Lord. And let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. This is very instructive. The man who has grace and finds reason to praise the Lord because his eyes have been opened. He beholds the greatness and goodness and the care and mercy of the Lord. What does he want? He wants others to praise the Lord. He wants to see the Lord praised in his family, in his community, in his nation, and to the ends of the earth. Because he knows that the Lord is worthy of such. And David is encouraging it. He longs to hear it. His desire is that others would come to know the same blessings from the Lord as he enjoys. Above all, God's so great salvation. Do you have a heart like that? That is a real token that a saving change has taken place. For many, sadly, coming to God's house is just part of their habit. Something they do, and they'll be there, and they'll perform the duty. But perhaps for most of the rest of the week, their thoughts will not be of God at all. Their thoughts will be of this world, this life, their own interests in this world. But God has given us 6 days for our labor. But it does not mean that we neglect him on those 6 days. There should be worship in the home. And the heart should be occupied with God. And our thoughts should be turning to him during at the other days of the week. And if the Lord has touched our hearts by His Spirit, if grace has entered into our lives, we will be like the psalmist here. This will be our desire and our prayer. Let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. So we pray that the Lord would come, send His life-giving Spirit, bless the gospel to many. We pray for the work of missions, and we do what we can to support that work. What is that work? It's the spreading abroad of God's fame. It's the publishing of the Scriptures, the circulation of the Scriptures, in which God's name is exalted. People come to know the true God and to bow down before Him and to cast away all their idols to give Him their praise. And all the praise that belongs to the Lord as His church is gathered and His church is built up and the nations of the world are brought in to the church. God has His people everywhere. He will find them. He will do it in this way. Sending forth His servants, bearing precious seed, sowing it in preaching and teaching. But it must be supported by the prayers of God's people and in practical ways too. If we desire people would praise the Lord, will we not also pray for the reviving of God's work in our own land? It is sorely needed. We feel the darkness. It is over us as a nation. And the people are blind. And they're led by the blind. And that is a tragedy. And if we have a heart for the Lord and a heart for our fellow men, we cannot be content with that. We cannot say in a sort of fatalistic manner, oh, that's just how things are. It's not right. Cannot be right when God is mocked. It's right that God is praised. And so we have that desire, that burden, do we not? That the Lord's work would be revived. Psalmist, there was no doubt concern particularly for Israel. Cause of the Lord ebbed and flowed even in the covenant nation. But the Psalms always look beyond the time of the Old Testament. And the Psalms too, having that messianic aspect to them, we may see even in this verse something of New Testament times. We can see, can we not, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, having died for His people's sins, desiring the spread of His truth and the ingathering of His people, the extension of the kingdom of grace. Let all flesh bless His holy name. forever and ever. When Christ was in this world, his mouth spoke the praise of the Lord. Perfectly. Because his heart was perfect. In holiness, in love for the truth. And he was walking in the ways of righteousness, hating iniquity. And the nations are promised to him. The peoples of the earth shall be his. He's died for the church. His redemption is declared by his church. And in that way, by and by, all flesh will bless God's holy name. Redeemed, called, saved, sanctified, praising the Lord. The day when the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And then in eternity, what is the great occupation of God's people, of the whole church, perfected in her head? Praise. Worship. Giving glory to the Lord. It begins on earth. Begins in the heart. By God's grace. To be perfected in the world to come. Well, do we know something of the praise of the Lord? Are we declaring it? Is that our joy and delight? And is the Lord being magnified by us, by life and by lip? We need to ask ourselves these questions. Because it is by these things that we may know ourselves to be among the Lord's people. May God bless his word to us. Let us pray. O Lord, we bless thee indeed for all thy abundant goodness to us. And all that we enjoy in thy providence for our temporal needs, but above all things for the gift of salvation, for Jesus Christ coming into the world to die for the sins of his people, and for the Spirit coming into our hearts to give us the knowledge of Christ crucified and the pardon of our sin in his precious blood. Grant that that may be the portion of us all, thy saving mercy, and that our hearts will indeed bless thy holy name forever and ever. And all we ask, for Jesus' sake. Amen.